Tomorrow, Nelson Mandela would have turned 100. And today, South Africa celebrates the anti-apartheid leader with a series of celebrations and speakers headlined by former President Barack Obama.
Madiba's light shone so brightly, even from that narrow Robben Island cell, that in the late 70s, he could inspire a young college student on the other side of the world to re-examine his own priorities, could make me consider the small role I might play in bending the arc of the world towards justice.
That's the former president speaking before thousands of South Africans earlier today in one of his most highly publicized appearances since leaving office. Milton Nkosi is a correspondent for the BBC in Johannesburg covering the 16th annual Nelson Mandela Lecture, and he joins me now. Milton, thanks for being with us.
It's great to be with you, Tanzina.
So that was a stirring and I guess typically long speech for President Obama. What was the overall reaction in the crowd?
The reaction in the crowd was of excitement, hope, inspiration, just as you would expect a speech by Barack Obama when it's delivered. He is indeed a great orator, and he was received warmly by South Africans, both at the stadium where I was and across the country where people were following on television and on radio.
Now, a lot of the speech was focused on this fight for democracy and for equality. How did Obama use the voice of Mandela to tell people where they should be focusing their efforts?
Yes, he was very eloquent, as usual. He quoted from many quotes which were delivered by Nelson Mandela. It was quite powerful because South Africans have followed Nelson Mandela's story for many years now. Remember, he's their liberator from racial oppression. So when President Obama today connected the dots of Nelson Mandela's story and intertwined it with what is happening today, that was well received by the audience.
And not only did he intertwine it with what's happening today, I felt watching some of the parts of the speech that it felt very directed also at our current president, President Trump, and at protecting democracies across the world.
And as with the denial of rights, the denial of facts runs counter to democracy. It could be its undoing.
Yes, indeed. He was very clear. And to be honest, certainly in my mind, and I know to the minds of many who were sitting all around me, they did think about the whole fake news phenomena that comes from particularly from America when people are watching television. Mr. Obama was very clear. He said, you have to believe in facts.
You have to believe in facts. Without facts, there's no basis for cooperation.
And you can be rest assured that as he was talking there, we all had in our minds the face of Nelson Mandela, the liberator of South Africa. But at the same time, we had the face of those who were challenging facts on a daily basis on our social media screens and on television. And he said that it was very strange that what Nelson Mandela said when he left prison in 1990 on February the 11th, that he came out of prison and he told us about the fact that we share a common humanity. And he said it was strange that today in 2018, after all those years Nelson Mandela left prison, me, Barack Obama, as he said to us, have to still make space in my lecture to remind you that we are all human after all.
We are all human, that our differences are superficial, and that we should treat each other with care and respect. I would have thought we would have figured that out by now. I thought that basic notion was well established.
And remember, you're addressing an audience about a person they know slightly more than average, because Nelson Mandela was a leader for the South African anti-apartheid struggle for over six decades. So people knew the person Barack Obama was talking about today. But he said it in such a way that it connected very smoothly without any bumps at all.
Milton Cozzi is a correspondent for the BBC in Johannesburg. Milton, thanks for this update.
You're much welcome.
Dennis Kruiwagen is a South African journalist and political commentator, as well as a former parliamentary spokesperson for the African National Congress who knew Nelson Mandela, and he joins me now. Dennis, thanks for being with us.
It is a great pleasure.
So it's been 5 years since the death of Nelson Mandela. When you look at South Africa today, where do you think the country is? And in these 5 years, where has it gotten?
I think we've got a bit lost in the 5 years since Mandela died. We had an aberration of a president called Jacob Zuma. Under his watch, corruption, oh my goodness, corruption thrived in our country. We had a phenomenon down here which was known as state capture, which basically meant that a few individuals were hollowing out state-owned entities and lining their own pockets. So reconciliation in South Africa, Mandela was a champion of racial reconciliation. That too has taken a knock. So I think we've got to regain our bearings and get back on the road that Mandela wanted us to follow.
And I definitely want to talk about political independence and specifically the right to vote. In 1994, after the collapse of the apartheid system, 9 out of 10 South Africans went to the polls that year. But are we seeing similar rates of participation today?
Sadly, no. The number of South Africans, total number, who have gone to the polls to vote or either to register to be eligible to vote, that has dropped remarkably. And I think I would describe that to disenchantment with the African National Congress, because in 2016, we had what we call local government elections, and the ANC suffered a bloody nose at the polls, and they lost control of most of our major cities, including a significant one called Nelson Mandela Metro, which is in the province of the Eastern Cape where Mandela was born. So coming from there, from the roots, so to speak, Mandela's roots, shows that voters have grown disenchanted with the ANC, and they want change. And also there was this huge specter of corruption that accompanied the Zuma administration, and also an arrogance of being in power that the ANC displayed, an arrogance of taking the voters for granted. And I dare say they paid a huge price.
Why is it, or has Mandela's legacy been guarded up until this point? And if so, why is it so crucial?
I think Mandela's legacy is so crucial because he spoke about racial reconciliation between all South Africans. He spoke about everyone having a home in the South African sun, but he also spoke against going on a journey of vengeance and exacting revenge on those who had governed the country before, those being the whites of this particular country. So that message was so important in keeping us together. There are those in the EFF who have said Mandela sold out the country and he bent over backwards to accommodate whites and white fears and white interests. And while one hears that and understands that, it also shows a bit of naivety because the world has changed. When Mandela came from prison, he thought he could nationalize left, right, and center until he went to the World Economic Forum in Davos, and where he realized the world has changed. So, yes, we need to return to a nation that is reconciled, a nation that has a common goal, and we need to do that. And I think Cyril Ramaphosa could be the answer to that.
Dennis Kruiwagen is a South African journalist and political commentator, as well as a former parliamentary spokesperson for the African National Council and former acquaintance of Nelson Mandela. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
Nelson Mandela, bring him back home to Soweto. I want to see him walking down.